Blog Talk Radio.
I know the Bible is right.
It's The Bible Has the Answers with Pastor Aaron B. Williams, coming to you live every Wednesday at 7 p.m. and Never Had It So Good Gospel 107. Pastor Williams believes if you have a question, the Bible has the answers. Join us Wednesday on the show or at I Am Jesus Holy Ghost Church in Columbia, South Carolina, where service times are Tuesday night prayer at 7 p.m., Sabbath Friday service at 7 p.m., and Saturday Sabbath Day service at 12 noon. Our motto is, it pays to serve God. Hit us up at IamJesusHolyGhostChurch.org. That's Pastor Aaron B. Williams, live on Never Had It So Good Gospel 107. Come on and get the Word of God at its highest level.
Beloved, God bless you tonight. God bless you. Glory to God. God's word is true. Amen. Glory to God. The Bible is right. Glory to God. And we thank God for it, as we say so often. Well, beloved, we're in the 19th chapter of Proverbs. We're down to the 24th verse. Glory to God. The 24th verse. And I'm reading out of the King James Bible. And Proverbs 19:24, King James says, a slothful man hideth his hand in his bosom and will not so much as bring it to his mouth again. A slothful man. Now, what does that word slothful mean? Glory to God. We find out, glory to God, that that word means lazy man. A lazy man, there can be a person who is so lazy that they're even too lazy to even feed themselves. Amen? And when I got into the Bible, I wanted to know really more about this one called a slothful man. And so I got into the Bible in the book of Proverbs. Let's go to Proverbs 12:24 to get to see what the Bible says about a lazy man, okay? It's going to say, in the King James, it says slothful, but the definition is lazy, okay? In Proverbs 12:24, it says, the hand of the diligent shall bear rule, but the slothful shall be under tribute. The hand of the diligent shall bear rule. Now, beloved, we're handling here the wisdom that created this universe, that hung the stars and the sun and the S-U-N in the sky. Amen. We're dealing with deep wisdom, the deep wisdom of God. And right here is the formula, one of the ingredients for success. It's the opposite of being slothful or lazy. The 24th verse here says, the hand of the diligent shall bear rule. The diligent, not the slothful or the lazy, the diligent. In other words, you have a job to do. You're about your business. You're doing it. You're careful and pay attention to every detail. You work hard and make sure that everything is done according to the exact way it's supposed to be done. You're diligent about your work. Amen? And the Bible says that if you'll do that, that the time will come when you will bear rule. Well, how can that be if I'm under somebody and I'm working hard? Yeah, because, see, you're going to get promoted. Who is the person going to hire or promote? Someone who's lazy or slothful, or someone who's diligent? They're always there on time. They've got the mixture mixed up perfectly. They've got everything perfect, just the way it's supposed to be. You know, I used to work for a major airline, and we had to care for our own airplanes and for airplanes of other companies. And one of the companies that we took for a while there, we took care of their airplanes, was Lufthansa, the German airline. Lufthansa. Well, I had the occasion to not only work on our airplanes, but occasion came where I had the occasion to work on a Lufthansa 747. So I'm under there working. We're working on this 747, and the Germans, they were diligent about everything. When I would work on my airplanes for our company, if the fluid level was 9/8 full, to me that was enough. 9/8 full, and it's only going from point A to point B. It could go back and forth 1,000 times before the fluid level would come down to a dangerous point. It certainly would get there with 9/8. Eight-ninths full. You know what I'm saying? But when I worked on the Lufthansa airplane, the Germans were so diligent. If it said that this fluid level had to be at this point, they didn't mean a tiny millimeter away. They meant take it right up to that point. They wouldn't let our mechanics push out their planes. They had to get two of their mechanics to come out and push. We could work on the plane, but then they would have their mechanics push it up. They were so diligent. They were so – everything had to be just perfect, just perfect, everything, right down the line. You couldn't be you needed 24 or something, and you had 23. We would let that go. They wouldn't let it go. If it said it's supposed to be 24 or something, had to be 24. Couldn't be 23, even if they were only going to fly a half an hour away. And you would never use 24 of them, 23 of them. Didn't matter. If it said 24, had to be 24. They were diligent about everything. And the Bible says the diligent will bear rule. Huh? The diligent will bear rule. If you work in a bakery and you're diligent about your job, don't you know you're going to learn everything about that bakery? And what will that enable you to do? You can go out and start your own bakery. Why? Because you know everything about everything. You were diligent to learn. You know, a lot of people, when they're working for somebody, they only want to do a minimum, when it should be the other way around. They should be learning as much as they can. Why? Because you can use it in other jobs, those different skills. But then if God raises you up where you can start your own business, you already know. You know how to do it perfectly because you mastered it. Amen? Here, the Bible says the diligent shall bear rule. Amen? But what does it say about the lazy person? They'll be under tribute. They'll be under tribute. Who pays tribute? A slave or a subject pays tribute. They'll find themselves under someone else all the rest of their life. They'll be working for someone else. Why? Because they mastered nothing. They were lazy. They didn't want to learn anything. They just wanted to get by. They just wanted to get by. So they don't learn anything. They don't have any get up and go. They got the wrong attitude. The whole thing, they'll always be under tribute. Glory to God. Because they're not diligent. Glory to God. So if you want to rule, if you want to bear rule, be diligent in what you do. Care about what you do. Bring it right up to the level it's supposed to be. Bring it up to perfection. Master it. Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. And then in Proverbs 12:27, it says the slothful man, remember what we said? The slothful means lazy. The lazy man roasteth not that which he took in hunting, but the substance of a diligent man is precious. Oh, those two verses, we could spend a whole program just elaborating on those two verses. Here it says that a lazy man, he roasts not that which he took in hunting. That which he took in, see, he's roasting something, but he didn't take it in hunting. Well, if he didn't hunt, how'd he get it? He had to beg for it. He had to beg for it. He didn't go out. He's lazy. He didn't go out and hunt, but yet he's roasting. What is he doing by being lazy? He's turning himself into a beggar. He can't get his own because he's lazy. He won't work. So what is? So how does he eat? He's got to beg. He's got to beg. He's reduced to begging. See where laziness will take you? It'll take you to a place where it turns you into a beggar. But then it says, but the substance of a diligent man is precious. He's worked hard for his money. And when you work hard for your money, you're careful about your money. Amen? You're careful. You don't just blow it because it meant something. You put sweat and flesh and blood into getting that money. And when you give God something in the offering, when the diligent man gives God something in the offering, he's offering God his best. He's giving God of his best. Amen? And God is pleased with that. Why? Because it's precious to him. And God really likes it if you'll share with him something that's precious to him. Remember what David said? He said, I won't offer to God something that didn't cost me anything. I want to offer to God something that's precious to me. Amen? Can you imagine how that makes God feel real good when you've honestly earned this money and you take money that you could buy, you could use it to buy food and put in your mouth and feed your family, and you take a portion of that bread off your table that you work hard for. You had to roll out of the bed at 5:30 in the morning and get up on them cold mornings to go to work, and then you were diligent at work. You did what you were supposed to do, and you got paid, and that money is precious. And you give some of it to God, oh, my goodness, God is so pleased. It ain't got nothing to do with the amount. It isn't got anything. It's the fact that you took bread out of your mouth and you gave it into God's work. That pleases God greatly. And I'm telling you, that kind of giving, not only are you going to receive from that, but you're going to receive abundantly. God's going to bless that. Amen? Because we saw Jesus. He watches the offering. Remember when he was watching the offering and the lady put in the two mites? He watches the offering. What are you giving him? Some junk? Some a sheep with a broken leg that you don't want, no one else wants? Well, I'll offer him because he ain't worth nothing, so I'll give that to God. I'll keep the precious stuff for me. No, you give God your precious stuff that you were diligent to get, you work hard to get. Oh, my goodness, that pleases God. Glory to God. You'll be blessed, I'm telling you. The Bible here says that glory to God, 27. The Lord loves that. Amen? Glory to God. 15:19. That's where I'm trying to go. 15:19. Oh, I lost my place there for just a second. It's okay, though. 15:19 says, the way of the lazy man is a hedge of thorns, but the way of the righteous is made plain. The way of the lazy man is a hedge of thorns. What's that mean? The slothful or the lazy man's way is made hard. His way is hard. Amen. He'll find out that things are hard for him. Why are they hard for him? Because he's not getting the promotions. When, you know, if you ever have worked a group of men and you're standing out there waiting for a day work, and the contractors come by and they say, you, jump on the truck. But the lazy man, he stands there. Nobody wants to pick him out to go to work. Why? Because they know he's lazy. And he doesn't get a day's work. Without a day's work, he gets no pay. Without pay, he's hungry. How is he going to feed himself and his family? Amen. He finds that his way is like a hedge of thorns. It's hard. Amen. Glory to God. Don't be lazy. Amen. I'm up against a commercial. Hold on. I'll be right back. Hold on. Well, all right. Glory to God. We'll just keep going. Amen. Glory to God. Proverbs 21:25 says, The desire of the lazy man killeth him. The desire kills him. Why? For his hands refuse to labor. What that mean? Have you ever been around somebody, they wish and wish, I wish this, I wish that, I wish money would come through the mail, I wish this, I wish that, and it don't come. The desire kills him. Why? Because he refuses to get out there and labor, to go to work so that God can bless him, so that the system can bless him, so that the laws of sowing and reaping can work in his behalf, and the laws can go into action and actually bring things to him, the things that he desire. But because he won't activate the law of sowing and reaping, glory to God, he doesn't reap anything. And without reaping, he never gets his desires never granted for him, glory to God. Why? Because he refuses to go to work. Because he refuses to go to work. Proverbs 22:13 says, the lazy man saith, there is a lion without. I shall be slain in the street. Amen? Tell you about the lazy man. The lazy man is always full of excuses. He's always full of excuses, glory to God. You know, as I mentioned a couple of times in a couple of other shows, a person who was homeless finally got around to, we had a job arranged for him to go to the very next day. So the very next day, after the day was over, I called him to find out how he liked his first day's work. And he told me, I didn't go to work today. And I said, what do you mean you didn't go to work today? It was all set up for you to go to work. We finally got a job for you. You're ready to go. And he says, I couldn't go. And I, why? Because I had to stay home to charge my phone. And I say, you're kidding. No, I had to charge my phone. So you missed an opportunity to start in a new job. You missed the opportunity to start work, to turn your whole life around, and you passed all that up because you had to stay home to charge your phone. Yeah, I had to charge my phone. Huh? Laziness. Lazy. They always have an excuse. There's a lion without. A lion's going to get me. Ain't no lion out there. You just don't want to go to work, you old lazy thing. Amen? And you're going to end up in the poorhouse. That's where you're going to end up, glory to God. 24:30. That is Proverbs 24:30. And it says, I went by the field of the lazy and by the vineyard of a man void of understanding. See, that right there. Notice it says void of understanding. In the Bible, when it talks about understanding, it talks about understanding means the things of God, all about God's principles, God's laws. But this man is void. What void mean? He ain't got none, none. He went by the field of somebody that had no knowledge of God's principles, God's laws, God's way of prospering. He went by that person, and what did he found? Verse 31, and lo, it was all grown over with thorns, and nettles had covered the face thereof, and the stone wall thereof was broken down. Then I saw and considered it well. I looked upon it and received instruction. Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall thy poverty come as one that travaileth, and thy want as an armed man. Amen. Glory to God. What is this saying? That, glory to God, someone who's void of knowledge from the Bible, God's wisdom from the Bible, they know what the Bible teaches. They would know what the Bible teaches if they was in it. The Bible teaches to go to work, to be diligent, to work hard. Amen? Glory to God. But this said, this man was void or had no knowledge of God's principles. And so because he didn't have any wisdom, he laid down and slept all day. And what happened? Poverty broke in on him like an armed man. He ended up in poverty, gross poverty. You know, I've said many times, we don't have a crime problem. We have a wisdom problem. People think I could stay home and watch videos all day. How are you going to stay home and watch videos all day and prosper? You can't. You can't. Amen. Glory to God. Let's go to Proverbs 26:13. Proverbs 26:13 says, a lazy man saith, again, it's the same thing we just covered. There is a lion in the way. A lion is in the street. And what did we say he was doing? Making excuses up. I can't go to work today. I don't have any transportation. I can't go to work today. I don't have no clothes. I don't have the right kind of clothes. Always making excuses. No, get your hips up and get out there and go to work. Go to work. Glory to God. Glory to God. Okay, let's go to, I want to go now to Romans, the 12th chapter, because that tells us how we should be as New Testament believers. As New Testament believers, how are we to be? And I want to start reading Romans, the 12th chapter, in the first verse, starting in the first verse. King James, Paul is talking about how we're supposed to be. We just got through saying we're talking about lazy people. Now we find out how we're supposed to be and how we are. Paul says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. So what is this letting us know? How we are to behave ourselves toward God. We are to present our bodies a living sacrifice, which is reasonable. Amen. And then he says in verse 2, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. What is he saying here? Don't be slothful. Don't be lazy. One of the things that you must do, God ain't going to do this for you. You got to renew your mind to the word of God. Pastor, how do you renew your mind to the word of God? Say you were a thief in your B.C., before Christ, B.C. Before Christ, you were a thief. You renew your mind to the word of God. The word of God tells you don't steal. Go to work. Work hard. And so you change your mind about thievery. You don't steal. You don't steal from your boss. You don't steal from anyone. You always do the right thing. Why? Because you learn that the wages of sin is death, that sin will destroy you. So you stay away from sin. The Bible tells you to give a decent day's work for a decent day's pay. So you work before you sneak off and take breaks and be on your cell phone and take a smoke break. Now you conform yourself to what the Bible says. You conform and do what the Bible says. And the Bible says don't be conformed or pressed into the mold of the world. You see, the world has its own entertainment. It has its own philosophy, its own wisdom, its own everything. And you can partake into that, and you'll be conformed and see things the way the world sees it. But we're not to be conformed to the way the world sees things. But we're to be how? Transformed. How do we do that? By the renewing of our mind. We agree with what we have an opinion. And then we look in the Word, and the Word says, don't do that. And so we let go of our opinion, and we adopt what the Word of God says. We adopt what the Word of God says. The Word of God says, walk in love. Before, glory to God, when someone would step on our blue suede shoes, we'd knock them out. But now the Word of God says, forgive. And so we don't go by what we used to do, our opinion. We let that go, and we adopt what the Word of God says. We forgive them. Amen. We forgive them, and we walk in love toward them. Amen. Verse 3, for I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. What does that do? That's conforming your mind, being transformed by the renewing of your mind. Before, you thought you were number one. You thought you were the hot shot. You were primary. But then you read in the Word, it says, don't think more highly of yourself than you ought. It doesn't say don't think highly of yourself. You're a son and a daughter of the living God. You're royalty. If God is royalty and you're his son or daughter, that make you royalty. But the Bible says don't think more highly of yourself than you ought. You don't want to get puffed up. You don't want to get haughty. Amen? You don't think of yourself more highly than you ought to. But to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. God is giving you a measure of faith. Amen? Amen? For as we have many members. Okay, I've only got about 3 minutes, so I'm going to drop down to verse 9. Amen? Okay? Verse 9. Let love be without dissimulation. In other words, no fake love, real love. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love and honor, preferring one another. Not slothful. We said that word meant lazy. Not lazy in business. Fervent in spirit. Serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope. Patient in tribulation. Continuing instant in prayer. Distributing to the necessity of the saints. Amen. And on and on and on and on and on. Amen. Paul outlines how we're to be. We're not to be lazy, but we're to work on through the power of the Holy Ghost. Through the power of the Holy Ghost, we ask the Holy Ghost to help us in these areas. All these areas outlined in here teaches us how to be citizens of heaven. Amen. It teaches us how to be ahead of time. It's teaching us how to be citizens of heaven. Citizens of heaven don't seek to get revenge. Citizens of heaven don't walk around with grudges. Citizens of heaven don't do the things the devils do. Amen? And we can begin to conform our mind to the word right here on earth, while we're on earth. And so we go through all these things. And when the Holy Spirit convicts us of what we do, amen, we ask him to be merciful to us and to change us, help us to change and help us to be conformed to what the Word of God says. Amen. Glory to God. And not to be lazy, not to be slothful, not to be making up excuses. Well, I'm just the way I am. I mean, I can't help it. I'm just me. I can't help it. I'm just mean. I don't know why. I'm cantankerous all the time. Amen. Yeah, you was cantankerous all the time, but you can change. Amen. You know, I read something one time. It was so good. I might have mentioned this before. But I was reading I even forgot where I saw this. But the guy made so much sense. He said, you can change. And I had thought, oh, man, change is hard. You know, you got to get prepared for it. You got to do this and do that and just grit your teeth and you're going to change. Amen. He said, you can change. He said, it's easy. All you do is just change your mind about the thing. He said, just change your mind about it. That's all. It's that easy. Just change your mind about it. If you were doing something, just say, okay, I ain't going to do that no more. Just change your mind. You got the Holy Ghost inside. You got the power of God inside. Ask him to help you. I know the Holy Ghost will help you. Amen. Isn't he called the Paraclete, the one that comes alongside and help you? He'll lead you to the right materials where you can get more insight on that. He'll have you hear a preaching or a teaching on it, or he himself will help you get delivered from that thing. I don't know how he'll do it in you, glory to God, but if you sincerely want to change, the Bible says that if you ask, Jesus said, if you ask anything in my name, I'll do it. So ask in the name of the Lord Jesus. Ask the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus, help me, glory to God. I remember when I was a young man, I was angry all the time. When I got saved, I knew that's not Christian. But I couldn't help it. I would still get angry about anything. Oh, and I almost forgot something. The Bible says in the 12th verse, in the 12th chapter, be not conformed to this world. I'm sorry, it said, be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. When you let somebody's angry and their anger causes you to be angry, you've been overcome by their evil. Don't be overcome by their evil. Learn not to get angry because they're angry. Now that's a you might have I have to work on that. Amen. But it can be done. Why? Because the Bible says, "Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good." Don't let their evil overcome you. If they're angry, don't let them get you angry. Walk away. Glory to God. God bless you tonight. Glory to God. Don't be diligent. Amen. And you'll end up on top because you are on top. You got the Holy Ghost. You got Jesus. I'm out. Bye-bye. See you next week. The Bible has the answers. Bye-bye.
I know the Bible is right.
It's The Bible Has the Answers with Pastor Aaron B. Williams, coming to you live every Wednesday at 7 p.m. and Never Had It So Good Gospel 107. Pastor Williams believes if you have a question, the Bible has the answers. Join us Wednesday on the show or at I Am Jesus Holy Ghost Church in Columbia, South Carolina, where service times are Tuesday night prayer at 7 p.m., Sabbath Friday service at 7 p.m., and Saturday Sabbath Day service at 12 noon. Our motto is, it pays to serve God. Hit us up at IamJesusHolyGhostChurch.org. That's Pastor Aaron B. Williams, live on Never Had It So Good Gospel 107. Come on and get the Word of God at its highest level.